Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned into MPI New York with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic, coming to you from our D.C. studio. We're down in the D.C. area today, but wherever we are, we're glad that you have us tuned in. And if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. Have a lot of news. Just a tremendous amount of news. Clinton and Donald Trump are still at it, still campaigning. Clinton is keeping a low profile, allowing Mr. Trump enough room or enough rope, forgive the mixed metaphors, to hang himself. As of late, he's gotten into another brouhaha, apparently a conflict with Little John, you know, who's not a rapper of any note. I mean, he happened to be on an Apprentice, I think, one segment. And for some reason, because he had dressed up in patriotic garb, I guess that means the red, white, and blue, Trump called him an Uncle Tom, which further reinforces the notion that I've always said since Trump bested 17 far better qualified candidates, not that I agreed with their politics, but they were far superior than Trump in terms of presentation, in terms of preparation, in terms of their commitment to their ideology, which is conservatism. So he's called Little John, Uncle Tom. I mean, it's just ridiculous, man. I mean, this guy, he just reels from controversy to controversy, you know, like one of those balls in a pinball machine, just boom, 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 boom. I mean, he's all over the place. So Little John's response was quite tepid. He simply asked Donald Trump to stop calling him an Uncle Tom. And Trump's spokesperson, I don't know how many there are now, apparently said, par for the course, no pun intended, because we all know that Trump loves his golf and his golf courses, and to play a round or two, that incident never occurred. So this is Trump's standard attack. Whenever he says something that's objectionable, his immediate response is to simply act as though the offense never occurred, just like with these women coming out of the woodwork. You know, it's interesting because Bill Cosby, an entertainer of note, comedian, a first in a lot of areas, was trying to buy NBC at one point. America's Father, the Puddin' Dad, sort of thing. He's been embroiled in controversy as a consequence of similar allegations. Not the same. I mean, but rape is rape. So, you know, it's like I had a friend of mine who said that if one rung on a ladder breaks, it doesn't matter whether it's the top or the bottom one, you're still going to fall. And that's true. So it doesn't matter if it were forcible rape, as was alleged against Donald Trump, or a drug rape where you're drugging unsuspecting women that you've lured into your apartment or your home and then had non-consensual sex with them, it's still rape. That's sexual assault. And there is no attorney, no lawyer, no judge, no jury that's not going to convict you. And we suspect that unless Donald Trump has really good attorneys, and I'm not sure that he does, you know, irrespective of the 4,000 plus lawsuits that have either been filed against him or by him, that he's going to be able to escape unscathed from these allegations, just like Cosby was, it, who has substantially more women. I mean, it's up to like 40 or 50 now. In Trump's case, it's nine, but you know, a leopard doesn't change his spots. So you can best believe there are substantially more allegations to come. The problem with this thing is, and I was talking to my partner about this over the weekend, is that women are not, taken seriously. And this is why a lot of them don't want to come forward. You know, they don't want their reputation ruined. We were talking about, you know, a young woman that she went to school with many, many moons ago when she was, you know, down in the D.C. area. And the young lady was attending a well-respected HBCU in the area. Those that know the area know which one I am talking about. I need not mention it on air. And she had gone to a party, a frat party. You know, she had pledged a sorority there. That's a big thing. She wasn't actually attending that HCBU. She was attending another school in the area that didn't have that sorority on campus or a chapter for that sorority on campus. The sorority, which will also remain unnamed, and pledged it on that on the campus of the historically black college and university. She subsequently went to a party and was allegedly gang raped by a number of young men who took advantage of her for whatever reason. I suspect that if she was gang raped, it wasn't a forcible rape. It was a situation where she had become. And I have no firsthand knowledge of this. I'm just assuming. I just, you know, it's hard to believe that they, you know, physically raped her. And by physically, I mean forcibly. You know, a situation where she and the young men, you know, we all know what we do on college campuses. We all have attended college. Well, most of us, I'm not saying all of us. Obviously, majority of Trump supporters have not, which is part of the problem. But at any rate, this young lady was ostracized, and she did report it. She immediately reported. They did, you know, whatever investigation was necessary to substantiate this serious allegation. And those young men were prosecuted, and I'm sure expelled from the school, and quite probably served lengthy prison sentences. She was ostracized and had to leave there. She wasn't attending that school, but she obviously had to leave the sorority. And I don't think she returned to her home campus, which was in the environs, and simply left the area and went home. And I hope, you know, for her sake, because a lot of women don't recover from this. You know, we see evidence of that in several cases that are going on today. And I was thinking about something else. A young man just made the movie, and anybody that knows the name of, you know, he made the Nat Turner movie, and he's been assailed by a similar controversy that's been bagging him. This is something that happened when he was a student at Penn State University in the mid, I would say, 80s, 90s, something like that. It couldn't have been the 80s. He's not that old. Had to be the 90s. Or maybe the early 2000s, because Nate Parker, I believe he's only in his early 30s, so that would have made it, put it somewhere in the early to mid 2000s. And he had consensual sex with a young woman there on campus. Subsequently, she returned the next day, and I haven't read the transcripts. You know, I know they exist. I was just merely repeating an article that I had read by a sister out of Buffalo, young lady who wrote a scathing article about the black feminists who responded so harshly to Mr. Parker and basically took him to task. tried to get his movie, and I don't, it's called Birth of a Nation, which is a take on an earlier movie that was made at the turn of the 20th century, about racism, how, you know, African Americans have these bestial tendencies and want to rape white women. I mean, it's awful, but it's true nonetheless. Because if you fast forward to the 1980s, and I just wrote an article about this, and we're gonna put it back on Twitter, on our Twitter feed. So stay tuned to that. You can find our Twitter feed at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Again, that URL is www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net or www.eastnewyorkmanagement.com. And we just published a piece on this because Trump took out full-page ads on these boys because they allegedly, you know, black and Hispanic kids, because they allegedly raped a young white woman in Central Park. They didn't do it. The powers that be in New York City, which is, I don't want to say, New York City is not a bastion of liberalism. New York is as racist as any other place in this country. I know, I'm here, I born, raised, and educated in this city. It's no bastion of liberalism. I've never had a problem with the cops in the city, and actually had cops and firefighters help me out on an occasion that I needed them. And I'm not saying it was friendly, but it was them doing their job, discharging their duties responsibly and in an unbiased and professional manner. And that's all that you can ask, basically, for anyone. The problem with Trump, however, and we've talked about this on his show since the beginning of election season, is that he has no boundaries. He is totally unfiltered, unhinged, and unfit as a consequence to be president of these United States of America. Let's take a break, and we'll come back on the other side of the break and finish talking about this.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurbs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop or pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here at MPI New York, featuring yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic. It's 10:43 a.m. on a sunny Monday morning here, October 7th. This month is just flying by. Every month has been flying by for the last year. I don't quite know what's going on. I know that when you get older, when you're younger, you want time to fly, and when you get older, you want time to slow down. I mean, Baltimore Ravens lost yesterday in a nail biter with the New York Giants. They were up practically an entire first half, and they just weren't able to hold on. I mean, they got a lot of people out. A lot of their secondary is out, and you know, some of their star receivers on the offense are out. Steve Smith Sr. But they have other weapons at their disposal. And I think this, you know, Flacco's all right. I remember when he was playing with the Blue Hens at the University of Delaware. They just got rid of a really good running back in my estimation, and they've consistently done this. And, you know, I'm not a coach. I'm not a general manager, a talent scout. So what do I know? Well, what I do see is that Baltimore continues to lose. And it looks like they're 3-3 now, so you know they're dropping and dropping and dropping every game, and you know the season is not that long. You know, February we'll be going into the Super Bowl, and hopefully at least they're getting to the postseason and won't last year, where they didn't even make it into the postseason. And I'm also looking at a couple of other teams. Obviously, I love Carolina. So I want to see what they do this year. And San Francisco, actually, Kaepernick played yesterday and scored a touchdown. But they still lost. They went down a beat nonetheless. And it was almost a blowout. I think they had like 16 to 40 or something like that against, forgot who they played right now. But we're not a sportscaster. We're an economic empowerment show, but we're talking about the election because that impacts us directly. Anything that's going to happen is going to happen directly to us. And, you know, the problem that I have with a lot of Trump supporters, not merely beyond the fact that I have an honest belief that the vast majority are racist, is that they're willing to drag the country over the proverbial cliff with us in tow. And, you know, we're digging and screaming and scraping and clawing to prevent from going over that cliff. I'm not a big, gigantic fan of Hillary Clinton. I really am not. You know, I think a lot of the criticism levied on Mrs. Clinton is absolutely accurate. I believe a lot of it is unfounded. But I do know this. I know that she would be literally walking away with this election if she could find it in herself to be a little more forthright. Show that human side, but she's a very private person in a very public office. And by office, I mean just as candidate. That's an office, you know, as candidate of the United States. But she's clearly more well-prepared than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a joke. You know, Colin Powell said it best. You know, he's a national embarrassment. He really is. I mean, you know, to really consider electing this man president of the United States and having his hands or the trigger of the nuclear codes is would be a disastrous decision. And it's really preposterous and shows the depth of racism in this country, if you really think about it, because they're willing, and by they, I mean his supporters, and, you know, along with a lot of milquetoast-like Republicans in both the House and the Senate, in and out of office, are willing to go down a rabbit hole with Trump, knowing that with his temperament, you know, the badgering, the bullying, the mean-spiritedness, the lack of civility, will embroil us, doubtless, in a war. It's no doubt about it. It's not anecdotal. It's not biographical. You can see by Trump's behavior on the campaign trail, the bullying, I mean, the schoolyard antics. I mean, just the ridiculous. It's like a 70-year-old adolescent that we have running for arguably the most important office under a representative democracy. You know, we're switching between shows in the morning, this morning, preparing for our show, Marketing Pulpit International New York. And those that want to join us, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. And as we prepare for the show, we're shifting back and forth between MSNBC, Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough, and Mika Brzezinski. Not a great fan of Joe or Mika. Joe is over the top as well. Very sophomore humor. Same thing, likes to overtalk people, doesn't want to hear anyone else's perspective or point of view unless you're agreeing with him. You're his yes man, he's with you. And seems for some reason to be pining for Trump to come back on. Trump doesn't come on the show anymore. Used to, but he was supporting him. And by supporting him, I mean allowing him to come on the show and make all sorts of unchallenged statements about he didn't support the Iraq war and, you know, going back and back and back, or not apologizing about the birtherism issue or the Central Park Five, ignoring the science on that, ignoring the science on climate change. And we see evidence of climate change every day, you know, with the marked increase in hurricanes, which were at one point in this country once in a century events, but now they've become so frequent, we you know, I don't know, you know, at what point we're going to see a Category 6, you know, with 200 mile per hour winds, you know, something that's really disastrous, you know, because we our reliance on fossil fuels, which, you know, keeps carbon monoxide in the atmosphere, warming up the atmosphere and melting the glaciers and increase or rise in sea levels and the temperature variations that cause these severe weather phenomena. So at any rate, we have Trump, you know, not going on that show, but actually going, well, he wasn't going on. One of his surrogates, Steve King, who is a despicable human being, I have to say, and I'm not giving the name calling, but this guy is really a piece of work. This is the same, I believe he's out of Iowa. Don't quote me his gospel on that. But this is the same guy that said at some juncture, and I'm going to find the exact quote, and I perhaps won't be able to find it during this show, but I'll bring it back to you because this guy, we're going to write a piece on him. He said that blacks had never contributed anything to Western civilization. First of all, you know, there's no such thing as Western civilization. Civilization is that's just a way to mitigate. Minimize other culture beyond Europeans' contribution to civilization, trying to delimit it to just Europe or the Caucasus, you know, Russia and that area up there, you know, all the surrounding areas. And, you know, people came out, you know, they basically lambasted, are you kidding? You know, blacks have never contributed. You know, but this is a widely held belief among even educated whites. I don't want to call a guy a friend, but I had an acquaintance, you know, with an earned doctorate, I kid you not, that told me that with a straight face one day. You know, black people haven't contributed anything to the United States. This is a widely held, and this is why Trump is so dangerous. And I say it over and over again, and I was, speaking with my partner this weekend, and she was saying, you know, Dennis, you say they might be a race war. It absolutely is going to be something if Trump doesn't get elected, because where is all that displaced anger going to go? It's not going to go with Trump, because Trump is going to resume, by his own admission, his life prior to throwing his hat in the ring for president, which was just a ploy, a marketing ploy, to get a better deal on his next misadventures, next show, whether he called it The Apprentice or something else. And he didn't think for a second that, you know, people would actually take him seriously. And this is the frightening part. A lot of people did. A lot of people buy into his ridiculous assertion, his anti-intellectualism, his racism, his sexism, his birtherism. And now he's standing on a precipice. Well, thank God that the numbers, and, you know, we're scientific over here at MPI, and I would say most of the shows, you know, rely strictly on what can be quantified, you know, methodically, employing the scientific method. And polling is a scientific, mathematical certainty of voters that we believe are going to vote. He has white males without high school, with just high school or maybe high school dropouts in many cases, you know, because if they learned a trade from their father or grandfather, uncle or older brother or something like that, it would have been little or no need. But I think even in the trades, I'm not really sure. I'm not a tradesman. But I have a couple of acquaintances that are tradesmen, and one was an electrician, a black guy. And he was telling me that, you know, to be a licensed electrician, you have to have a high school diploma. Because I guess, obviously there's a mathematical component to, you know, whatever test that you eventually have to take. If there is a test, you know, I'm sure there is, you know, you have to go in and, you know, if you're going to pass a license examination, you have to, you know, have a rudimentary understanding of certain mathematical equations or, you know, just a certain level of math knowledge. So at any rate, Donald Trump has a lock on that population. That demographic is something that is reliably in his corner. But, you know, everybody and their mother has been saying it. There's not enough angry white men left in the country to sweep Donald Trump into office. So now we're left with the undecideds and we're left with the independents. Personally, I'm an independent. You know, my, you know, as a entrepreneur and a business person, a businessman, my politics are conservative, very much liberal or progressive. So I'm definitely independent. The libertarians are too free market for me. I think that a little regulation goes a long way. I really do, and the libertarians want to do away with all regulation. And unfortunately, you know, our form of laissez-faire capitalism works if you have a strong moral compass, if you have, you know, persons in the organization, you know, that deal strictly with, and more importantly, they're going to be listened to. Because you can have those persons in an organization. You know, let me give you an example. You know, NPR is a prime example, National Public Radio, which is something we, programming they produce on National Public Radio, something that we all aspire to do, that are in the broadcasting business. Unfortunately, the diversity there, you know, after Raj Hedaya and Michelle Norris left, is practically non-existent. And then again, you look at that and you say, all right, well, there were two black women. Where are the black men? I can't read the, you know, except for Juan Williams, who departed for Fox years ago, I can't remember a black male having a show on National Public Radio. So, you know, we're talking about diversity. We're talking about access. We're talking about fairness. We're talking about, you know, equal opportunity. And I think that's what it comes down to with the Trump presidency. Trump will rule just like he says he will rule, as a dictator, you know, following the old party line, which demeans and oppresses women and minorities, and will ensure that white males, this is why they are voting for him, will maintain or regain, according to Trump, with the dog whistle calls that he frequently makes at his rallies, it will ensure that they regain their privilege, something that they deny. Then you see him hemming and hawing and acting as if white privilege is a figment of our collective imagination. But we're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk more as the election progresses to election day, which is Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. So get out and register to vote. We'll see you next week right here. Same place, same time. Marketing Pulpit International with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. Have a wonderful week.